This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
K100 with Conan and Disco has a new sponsor this week, Freedom Grooming. Freedom Grooming specializes in shavers for the follically challenged among us, including myself. With the Flex Series, you can get the smoothest shave of your life. Flexible blades contour to the shape of your head for a baby smooth shave every time. And it shaves 50% more hair in a single stroke compared to traditional razors. Expect shave times of only 2 to 3 minutes. And never cut your head shaving again. The Flex Series safeguard technology means no nicks, no ingrown hairs, and no problems. And the Flex Series waterproof design means you can shave in the shower, with or without shaving cream, or shave wet or dry. And if you want to check out the Close Shave Plan, you know, since even the sharpest blades dull with use, Freedom created the Close Shave Plan. With the Close Shave Plan, you'll never run out of fresh, sharp blades delivered to your door every 6 weeks with free shipping. And all active Close Shave Plan members are upgraded to a lifetime warranty. And it's completely customizable. Adjust, skip, or cancel your plan at any time. And the products are so excellent, Freedom Grooming has over 10,000 five-star reviews. Check out this review from Kevin L. This shaver is by far the best purchase I made in a long time. I use it daily to maintain a smooth, soft head. It glides effortlessly over my head to cut every hair to the skin every time. And the best part is it never causes bumps or nicks, and it cuts perfectly around my ears every time. A perfect gift for anyone that enjoys a baby smooth head. And to thank the loyal listeners of K100, we've partnered with Freedom to give you an exclusive 20% off when you go to freedomgrooming.com/Conan. That's freedomgrooming.com/Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. freedomgrooming.com/Conan.
Yo, so we're back with another episode of K100 Talks. What's the topic, Glenn? Boom.
So, I got a rabbit hole. You know, I was thinking, like, you know, there's this big, because I want to phrase this properly so people don't think I'm just trying to sound like racist or anything, right? But you know that there's all white privilege and everything, right?
Right.
Well, there is kind of like a weird privilege because we're, you know, we want equity, equality, and stuff and thing with like how the news reports suspects. And oftentimes they won't tell the color of the suspect, and the suspect could be on the run. Like a suspect at large, and they just describe him by his, you know, they won't describe the skin color Okay, if the guy's like an African American sometimes, because they don't want this thing of like this weird thing that, you know, because it gives biases and makes people think, you know, you whatever it is, right? So I came across an article here, and this was interesting, to where News 5 Cleveland, this is ABC News 5 Cleveland, this article is from June 2020. Right. And it's like they literally have to make a statement on this. And this is an interesting read. Right. I want to read you what they say here. This is the article from them. When we include suspect descriptions in our reporting and when we don't, we're sometimes criticized by readers. This is by Joe Donatelli. I guess he works there. OK, so we're sometimes criticized by readers for not including descriptions of possible suspects in a crime. Some of that criticism is offered in good faith. Some of it is veiled or outright bigotry. Whatever the case, we strive to be transparent in our reporting, so explain how we report these details. On the News 5 website, we publish specific descriptions with identifying details when alerting the public to potential danger, when helping to locate a missing person, and when police ask for the public's help in the apprehension of an individual. If a description is vague, and it could literally describe thousands or millions of people, we don't share it. In other words, race and gender alone are not enough. This is not new. It has been our policy for the last few years, and this has been a policy, and like you've seen news, like this has been going on for a while, right? I'm like, this is like old news, right? So they go, what is a specific description? It would include identifying factors such as tattoos and scars, as well as clothes, type of vehicle, etc. Every story is a little different. Sometimes police give us detailed information because they talk to witnesses who saw someone clearly, and sometimes they don't get a good description for witnesses, which happens. When we're not sure, we have newsroom discussions about whether there are enough layers of specificity to include in the report. Okay, this is a good place to ask. Why share suspect descriptions at all? This is where I can't believe like we're getting this. This is a news site, right? One of the cornerstone topics of local journalism is public safety, which we cover for many reasons. Foremost among them, to publicly document the activities of the police in our role as watchdog, as well as to alert the community that criminal activity has occurred. Providing a detailed description of a possible suspect dovetails with both. But news organizations need not to do so reflexively. Some newsrooms thoughtlessly repeat whatever details officials provide them. We prefer to consider the importance of a piece of information first. This is why, for example, we change the entire manner in which we publish coronavirus data from the state. It's not that we want to withhold information from the public. Far from it. We spend our days, our lives, trying to extract the tiniest bits of information from unwilling government agencies. Our investigators have been waiting on some public records requests for years. We've gone to court to extricate them, and we're in the information-sharing business, but that does not mean we must or should share all we gather. For example, last year we told you why we don't report police scanner traffic. In that post, I touched on the notion that proper journalism sometimes involves collecting information but not disseminating it. As I wrote then, he puts this in big capital letters because it's like the emphasis of what he's trying to make here. Yes, it is publicly available information, but as journalists, it's our job to weigh the value of that information and determine what, if anything, to do with it, not to mindlessly report everything we hear. We don't report on scanner traffic because relying on only those initial reports increases the likelihood that the story will be incomplete, untrue, or devoid of what is so essential in any breaking news story: context. It would be irresponsible if we did not, as I wrote, weigh the value of information. When it comes to descriptions of individuals, value matters. In the case of police, they're often relaying what they've been told by witnesses, and as a result, they commonly give suspect descriptions as vague, for example, white female with brown hair. This is the interesting part here. As experienced journalists who come from a variety of backgrounds who've discussed the coverage of diverse communities in our newsroom, we're aware of the effects that our reporting can have. Let's say a significant volume of our stories describe possible criminals as, quote, white women with brown hair. After a while, some readers might come to believe that white women with brown hair as a group represent a personal or societal threat. When a news organization offers only racial and gender identifiers as part of its news report for years or decades, what is the more likely outcome? That these extremely vague descriptions will better inform the public, or that it will be a party to unintentionally perpetrating stereotypes? In our judgment, sharing vague descriptions that are of little value repeatedly to a mass audience does more harm than good. I can hear some of you now. You're keeping information from the public. Incorrect. We're simply not sharing it. that information is still available. You may desire that information for perfectly good reasons. If you live in the community where the crime occurred and want to know more about what happened, or if you think you may be able to catch the bad guy, you can reach out to police and ask. If the description is contained in a police report, it's available to the public. When the description is not specific, though, this is the line you will see in our stories. Quote, a specific description of the individual was not provided by police, which is the truth. And if you're really dying to know whether or not a suspected criminal was black or white, and this particular crime does not affect you in any possible way, instead of asking yourself what someone looks like, please stop and consider why you need to know it all. Bro, that's absolutely... I can't believe that I read that this is the news. Okay, somebody shoots somebody, all right? The guy is fleeing from the cops. Don't you think the first and foremost description, because this is what our society's become, everything's race related, is what is the color of the victim? So we can eliminate a large group of people.
What is the color of the perpetrator, you mean?
What is the color of the perpetrator? Or what is the color of the suspect?
Yeah.
Bro, I took security training, okay? And we had this guy, but professional security company, and they came and we spent 3 days, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. And I've got a certificate that says I'm like a licensed security expert. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what they told me, you know, the thing is like when we dress code people at the door. Right. And like, that's been looked at as kind of like racist and stuff. There's people that will call it that. However, it's like, you know, the guy even says, like, in our security training, it's like, you know, people say your profiling is bad. It's like, profiling is good because it creates a very vivid description. Like you have if somebody comes in dressed like gangbangers, okay? And we've had guys that have been, you know, had troublemakers in the past have been gangbangers. It's not out of the realm to sit there and look at these people and profile, okay, these are potential troublemakers because they're dressing like the people that has caused trouble in the past. And other guests know this, and they might not feel comfortable. Okay, so what we do is, like, you know, we'll go talk to the person, find out, you know, when we find out the guy's a football player or something, you know, but we don't just, like, you know, just at the door, you know, we're looking for people that might cause trouble. Okay, and that's because it's because of the safety of the club. Like, you don't want troublemakers in the club starting fights, selling drugs, whatever. I see, like, the same thing with this. Like, the news is actively suppressing important information because they think that it might create a visual picture in people's eyes that, like, okay, that's, you know, well, you're just making it like all black people, you know, that might make people think that black people are more susceptible to crime than other people when we're talking about a person that's an active shooter. Or an active person on the run. And I just think it's, you know, I think it's one of the most hypocritical things that the news does is when you try to push like this, you know, all these mainstream media companies all push racial narratives, racial narratives, racial narratives. But when there's an actual crime that's being committed, it's like we kind of have to frame this in our racial narrative way instead of just giving you the facts of who to look for that, you know, that's on the run. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to it. I just think that at the end of the day, it's a news organization's right to inform us and protect us. And that should override anybody's fucking sensibilities.
Right.
You know, and that's a lot of bullshit. We're too politically correct. We're pussies. We fucking don't stand up to anybody anymore, including ourselves. We're letting weak-minded people, you know, run important branches of government and corporations. This pussy bullshit is getting us nowhere. And the thing is, nobody wants to hurt anybody's sensibility. So all we do is bullshit each other all the time because you don't want to offend anybody or get any fucking heat. So you don't have any fucking normal conversations. So yeah. To me, it's all bullshit, you know,
yeah.
Go, inform, fuck what people. Oh, I might be offended by this.
Right.
Good motherfucker. Grow a pair.
Like, yeah, you know, who cares if you're offended? A guy just shot somebody.
Yeah,
you right.
Know? And I'm worried about, like, you know, if they say the person's black or Hispanic and everything, you know, people might look at me as like, I might be a person that might.
Well, bro, then you got to be a small, feeble-minded clod to begin with to think that way. You know.
Well, I'm just fascinated that the news. Who the people that we're supposed to look for and just get the facts of things that happen in our society are buying into this. And it's like, you know, this
because that's what they're growing up with. They're getting it early. You know, we got other, like I told you before, we got credible reporters. You know, we got reporters that would go on the air and fight whatever narrative the news department was trying to push. So they had credibility. You know, doesn't matter. It's like, who's first? We'll burn your ass, figure it out later, get ratings now, right? And worry about if it's true or not later, you know?
Public safety, it's like what I think that the ultimate thing here is you're trading off common sense protocols of public safety for, you know, for people's, you know, for people's sensibilities and whether or not they're going to be offended by your protocols of delivering facts. And I think, you know, that's where the news has gotten warped.
This is what I always say, Disco, and I think it's a very valid question. Were we too insensitive before, or are we too sensitive now?
Bro,
you know what I'm saying?
It's funny, you know, like, because it's weird. You know, there's this new thing I was reading too the other day about how there's, like, then this feeds into it too, right? 75% of the ads on TV, okay, take a wild guess what companies are represent 75% of the ad revenue of media. Pharma, okay. Right, so you have pharma, okay, which is we're one of two countries. New Zealand's the only other country that advertises that lets pharmaceutical advertising.
Only two, yep.
Only two. And it's like, as this has happened, we've seen the rise of mental health issues and suicides and stuff and everything, like all these things, you know? And you got to be like a real kind of like, You got to be like kind of like dumb to the world to not look at the possible correlation of the fact that we're allowing our country to be sedated by antidepressants and stuff or thing and see the rise of mental health issues. You know what I'm saying? It's like the drug. You know how they say like they say marijuana.
And the worst thing, Glenn, is the people that we entrust most. Because when I was a little kid, a doctor in my house. Mm-hmm. It was like a big, very respected, mm-hmm. you know, and they still made like house calls and shit.
Right.
But anyways, you know, like maybe in some Catholic families, because a lot of Cubans, Puerto Ricans are, you know, Catholic and shit. Mm-hmm. Like the priest was very revered.
Right.
You know.
Right. The whole media thing now, the news, like the pharma's, you know, the news. So.
Here's the thing. And so now these people that we entrusted our lives with, doctors that we trusted, had been corrupted by pharma to sell us all this shit and dope us up. And now what started, what we lived and saw firsthand in the 90s, because we lived it firsthand, and what it's masticized into, you know, with all the fucking fentanyl, bro, it's incredible.
Did you hear how about many the...
But that all started with the opioid shit in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And all they did was pay off the doctors, pay off the senators, right? They passed all the laws they wanted to. They went through all these loopholes that, and, you know, and everybody got paid and the citizens paid a big price. They're all culpable in that.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And it's like the thing is, it's like it's caused this rise in, you know, mental health issues, and people with mental health issues are.
I bet you anything, and this is in all fairness to the senators, because everybody wants to make money. Mm-hmm. But if they would have known the hell that they leashed on the American, you know, public with that opioid thing, they would have probably never taken that money, because it's a shame that we've lost so many people, or so many people in rehab or lost or can't get their shit together or overdose.
Right.
You know.
And it's weird. Like it's our country has a more serious problem than this in any other country in the world, but because they pay the media, we don't really talk about it. Right. We talk about all the other everything else that offends people and stuff and all that. They're like all the other problems in our country, and like you could just sit there and make the case
because the most powerful people are culpable,
right? And we're letting the drug dealers basically run the show, the pharma, which that's what they are. They're giving Americans drugs.
Right.
And it's like the drugs are affecting the way we think. The drugs are making us very, very easily influenced. The drugs are making you scared. The drugs are making you fragile. The drugs are making you, you know, scared of stressful interactions and stuff. It's fascinating what it's doing. It's like it's created. I think it's fueling this culture of like this. What do we call it? The outrage culture, where people are constantly just offended at everything. You know, it's like there's. It's like, bro, it's like, you know, when we grew up, it's like, what offended us?
Right.
It's like nothing.
Right.
You know, we were like something. I mean, we weren't offended. You know, we were offended when we got fucked by the bookers, you know, and stuff like, you know, that would offend us, you know, but like fans yelling at us and stuff and everything, you know, that like fans cussing at you. It's like that did not affect us back then. Right. And it's like this generation of like
they want to fight them. Like,
yeah, they want to fight the fight. That's like weird. It's like, you know, I don't know. But I thought that was interesting that like they actually that this news site basically had to make a statement, and their statement doesn't make any sense, you know?
And there's nothing funner, Glenn, because we've both been there, where a fan gets on you, and you get on the fan, and you're going back and forth, and everybody's getting into it, and it really, you know, now today, the fan gets into it, and they're like, hey, kick him out, you know?
Right.
Like, it's the, like bro, interact with the guy and – huh?
These people, the wrestlers come back to the locker room. They're complaining about the fan and all the other. Oh, let's get that guy out of here. So, you know, it's like, there's a fan. Like I think at the AEW shows, they have a fan code of conduct.
Oh, I hate
kind of, yeah.
Yeah, really? A fan code of conduct, yes.
What does this consist of?
Try and find it, Joe. Maybe we could talk about
I'd
that.
I'd love to hear this.
Yeah, but let's.
There's got to be a couple of snowflakeries in there.
Yeah.
But
I got it.
All right. What is AEW fan code of conduct?
Like, I've never like, even heard of this.
It's like, I know. It's like, it's crazy.
Can you
right?
imagine a code of conduct when you went to a wrestling show?
Bro,
you go there to fucking go wild.
Yeah.
Bro, I've had, remember this whole, all this thing started, you know, that, well, this was the culture, right? Bro, I've been in the ring and had 10,000 people do the fetch, right. and then we got come back from the locker room, and kids would be cracking up. Right. We'd be laughing, you know, everything's okay.
Can you imagine like a character in ECW called the Code of Conduct?
Right. You know, yeah. Bringing it to ECW, reading the fan code of conduct, right?
Well, that's kind of what they did.
What's their
remember.
Code of conduct now? Because the fans cuss like truck drivers at their shows.
Real quick,
you know?
Real quick before I read it. Remember Conan, because you were there at this point, when they Bill Alfonso was kind of like code of conduct. Like they'd come out to put somebody through a table and Fonzie would come out and blow his whistle and be like, we're not going to, I work for the Athletic Commission, we're not going to allow tables or scantily clad women.
That's right.
That's a good character, right?
Okay, so this AEW code of conduct, they instituted it after somebody tried to run in the ring live on TV. I kind of remember that, like last summer. So it says, the new fan code of conduct condemns behavior that is unruly, disruptive, threatening, or illegal in nature, including fighting and physical harassment, foul, harassing, or abusive language towards other fans or staff, unreasonably obstructing the view of other patrons and standing in aisles, smoking, including e-cigarettes, and the abuse of drugs or alcohol. And they show the list on the big screen, and Excalibur reads it out, apparently.
Really? That's interesting. Says, and it's funny, too, because like they had this code of conduct now, and like I was just going to make the point. You know, I had all these fans chanting homophobic slurs at me in the ring, right? And then you had, like, you know, remember when Ryan Satin and his girlfriend go to the show, and they were, you know, they had to post on Twitter how terrible the fans were. They were yelling cheeseburger at Nia Jax.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened here? It's like, you know, like fans are trying to get on the wrestlers and like, but they're body shaming them. It's like, okay, well, that's what they do. It's like, they yell at us. They try to get, it's like, I don't know. Right. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. Do you think that was an interesting read, that article?
A little bit too long. You should have gotten to the part two.
Well, I didn't think it was there. I didn't think it was too long. So.
Yeah, but, I did.
All right.
There's nothing longer than my shout out to the beginning of the show, though. That's right. For damn sure. All right. So that's the thank you, everybody, for checking out the K100 Talks. Become very popular very quickly. If you got any questions on the topic we just discussed, send it to the mailbag. Keep the letters short so we can read a grip of them.
And if you want to, if you have a topic too that you wouldn't mind us discussing, send that to the mailbag. Maybe we'll talk about that on K100 Talks. So we're definitely up for suggestions, because when we let Joe make the suggestions, it's like, you know, it's like the stuff he's like copy pasted articles from Fox News.
So he's some sort of cyber sex article.
I use I use Drudge.
Anti.
I use Drudge. Yeah. Drudge Report.
Do you really use Drudge?
Yeah.
Interesting. I never read that.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
All right, that's been K100 Talks. Boom.